Welcome to Be All You Are, a Midlife Awakening podcast. I'm your host, Kaina Paranjape. I'm a former corporate executive, two-time entrepreneur, and mama. I've worked with and partnered with major brands and even helped a celebrity launch an award-winning business. But I also believe that who we are is not just reflected on our LinkedIn profile. When I was 30, my husband became suddenly critically ill. And after 8 years of living with a difficult illness, he passed away. This experience taught me that we need to claim our dreams now, embrace all we are, and create an amazing life along the way. Today, I help women like you navigate through change and transition to their next level of freedom and fulfillment, whatever that looks like for you. This podcast is all about stepping into all you are. It's about reconnecting to your inner voice so you can hear the whispers of your deepest dreams and cultivate the courage and a plan to create the life that is waiting for you. Now head out on that solo walk or settle into a cozy spot with a favorite beverage and join me. Well, hello, beautiful friends. I have missed you. You may be able to tell from my voice that I am just coming out of a cold, although it doesn't even sound like I'm coming out of it right now based on the way I sound. So forgive me, but luckily the interview that I am sharing with you today was recorded on a day when I was in perfect health. So you won't have to listen to this version of my voice for too much longer. Welcome back to the podcast. I have been busy working on something that I am so excited to share with you very, very soon. So you're going to have to tune in because next week on the podcast, I am going to be making an announcement about something new that I have created really based on the hundreds of conversations, whether it's been on calls, whether it's been at events, on Instagram, on LinkedIn, responding to my email newsletter. I've heard from so many of you, and I've really tapped into my own inner voice and my own intuition around what I want to create to serve you best. And I'm really, really excited to share it with you. It really comes from the heart. It is my own creation, which is what I encourage all of you to do as well, right? Like, this is what this podcast is about, being all that you are, finding your voice, creating from the place of the truth and the authenticity of your own voice. So that is coming, and you're going to have to wait till next week for me to share that with you. So be sure to come back next week, and I will be back to my weekly episodes soon. So what I wanted to share with you today is a beautiful, beautiful conversation I had with my friend, Jenna Smith. So I met Jenna through a mastermind group that we were both a part of. And, you know, you hit it off with somebody. I feel like I shared this story a lot on the podcast when I'm introducing guests, the story of how I connect with someone and hit it off. But that's the way it's meant to be. And honestly, when you put yourself out there into the world, you kind of attract, it's like magnets, right? You really attract other people who not even kind of speak your language, but who speak in the same frequency, right? So it could be different languages in terms of the words we use to talk about things, but the frequency is the same. And the frequency is all about possibility and stepping into all that you are and leveraging your strength and your resources and your capability. And that's what this beautiful conversation is about. So this conversation is with my friend, Jenna Smith. Jenna is a transformational coach, but she's also trained in psychotherapy. So psychotherapist trained, also in shamanic intuitive healing. And she's also a high performance coach. So all wrapped in, she's somebody who can help you face the parts of you that need healing, but also tap into the part of you that is ambitious and driven and wants to create, but from the place of your most authentic self. I personally got so much out of this conversation. I love how authentic Jenna is truly, you know, and you can hear in the flow of our conversation that she is just fully present as herself. And that's the version of Jenna you get, whether she's coming to, you know, speak to my group mastermind, she's come and spoken to my small group and done coaching within my group, or whether you meet her at an event, it's the Jenna that you receive and that you appreciate. And so I'm not going to say too much more. I want you to just tune into this. And I know that you are going to have some aha moments. I certainly did. And mind you, I have these conversations every day. I'm reading and learning and studying every day. But yet, again, people get served up to you, right? And it's because there is something that you have to learn from them too. So I am so thrilled to introduce you to Jenna Smith, and I can't wait to hear what you think. Have a listen. Welcome, Jenna, to the podcast.
Hello.
I'm so happy to have you. I mean, before I hit record, I was just saying how these conversations are such a joy and pleasure for me because I get to like know you more, right? Like we've had so many conversations, we've met in person, but to be able to sit down with you and really dive into your story and your work and what lights you up and, you know, be able to share that with the women who are listening, it feels like such a gift. So thank you so much for being here.
Same. I mean, I love talking about all this stuff. Like I was listening to your podcast previously to get the sense of it. I'm like, I want to talk to everybody. I want to talk to all these people.
Yeah, totally. Well, we're going to make that happen. But I want to start with a fairly big question, which is tell us about your journey to the work that you do today.
Okay.
I know, it's a big one.
Let me start under the whole umbrella of be all you are. Like, so I grew up in a small town. I currently live here now in Goderich, Ontario, Canada. Mm-hmm. And from a very young age, and I think a lot of the listeners can relate, there was just like, something's off. Like there's a, there was just a knowing that like the way life was going for many people wasn't the way I wanted my life to go. So I was raised, you know, like the small town and the gossip and like the people pleasing and the I'm fine and the like going to church and stand up, sit down and listen to the guy and then no one applies it. Like I was just like, this isn't. And then I would then change myself like we all do to fit into this thing that called life called society. And that's just what you do. You go to school and you do the thing. So I did the good girl thing and I did the smart girl thing and I was a singer. So I discovered I could sing when I was 11. And so this brings me to I'll say like that blueprint I was born with that somehow didn't go offline. And I attribute that to my love of nature and music. Mm-hmm. I think because I was singing and because I went in nature a lot, some part of me stayed online. I call that when your spirit's online. Yeah. So I could hear little nudges. So that led me to different teachers at different times. So my pain story is then I was in a car accident when I was 15. That led me to energy work. So the doctors would say, you know, this is going to be here forever. Just let's find ways to deal with it. And my little voice said, like, I didn't know how, but I'm like, I don't know if I buy that though. Okay. So that got me going on finding a Reiki master and then. And so simultaneously I thought, okay, I want to get out of the small town and be a singer. I'm a good singer. I can do this. So then now there's the music industry of like, you need to be skinny and hot and men need to want to, you know, do things to you. You know what I mean? Like your identity is based on all of these things to be a singer that have nothing to do with singing. So that really messed with my mind, but ironically got me into personal training, you know, later. So I went to university for music, thinking I'm going to be a singer, ended up spit out the end of that with a degree in music, which wasn't really like a job, realized the music business wasn't for me. Was like, what am I doing? And then went into personal training and personal training taught me how to run a business within a business. As a personal trainer, my clients would start to completely transform. not just fitness, not just that. And then I thought, oh, this is cool. Maybe I'll be a therapist. Mm-hmm. All the while trying to figure out my life. Like, how do I do the singing thing? How do I be fully fulfilled? I would wake up at 8 a.m. So all of this anxiety that I was still in the process of healing, feeling like I was late for something and had to get somewhere. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people have that anxiety. Like, there's something I need to do and I need to get it right. And it runs their lives. And it definitely ran my life in my 20s. But then luckily that led me to training as a psychotherapist, which then obviously if you're training as a psychotherapist, you learn about emotional healing. You learn about your family of origin stuff. So the real through line is that everything I was called to do taught me more about myself in order to be more of who I am.
Mm.
So that psychotherapy training, and then there's all these synchronicities. I was at a fitness thing. Down the street was where the psychotherapy school was. They were starting 2 weeks later. So everything that was for me came in time, like at that moment, got the nudge, followed the thread, you know, but then psychotherapy wasn't enough for me because it wasn't just about healing. It was about then who do I want to be my highest expression? So now we go into like high performance, fullest expression, full potential, like that sense of not dying with your music still in you, right? Mm-hmm. That I know a lot of your people feel that, like there's something in me that wants to be expressed. So that led me to eventually doing coaching when I was trying to do the music business stuff again. So I know it's all like boop, 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 but that type of coaching, again, attracted to me ontological coaching, which is the nature of being, how to be who you really are, be a creator and not a reactor, and based on your relationship to reality, create your reality, and then that tied in with the energy work. I also worked with shamans, so we'll add that in later, but that tied in with the energy work of you connecting to your truest being, but then the technology to create your life to match that being all intersected at age 29. So from 29 to now, I've just been practicing it on myself, living what I teach. But it all came. I was being prepared along the way. So a lot of people are like, oh my God, how do I get ready? How do I do the thing? It's like, no, life will teach you. Life will give you what you need to become who you are.
Yeah.
But we have to be able to drop. So I dropped being a personal trainer and I became a therapist. And then, you know, we're integrating it all, but like you have to let go of certain identities to allow that new thing to emerge for life to continue to prepare you and grow and expand. As much as it's sexy to be like, oh, I know how to do this. Like, cool. Life's going to make you grow. And now you're not going to know how to do that next thing. So I thought I'd add that in there, but that's what brings me here to having this pretty interesting story. Like it's definitely, there's other parts to it, but it's definitely unique in that, like, I just like kept trucking along and doing the next thing and then creating a career in the coaching industry as a therapist trained coach to do this and work online in this cabin in the woods. Like, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Wow. Is it ever? And Jenna, like, your story is so amazing, but one of the things that stands out to me is how you followed those nudges, right? Like, I think that so many of us get nudges, but if we're not tuned in, and I love that you said from the beginning that there was a part of you that stayed turned on, right? But I think for a lot of women listening, maybe they do have a sense that a part of them is turned on, or maybe it's more like this feeling of, I don't know, is anything turned on, you know?
Right. And it can get very repressed. Yeah.
That's right. And so if you aren't turned on in that way, the nudges may come and they don't land with you. Right. And so I'm curious for you, what was the process like for you to follow those nudges and to trust them and to, was it like sort of a seamless process, or was there a lot of turbulence as you followed those nudges?
It was very clear to me, this isn't working. Let's go there. So I think some risk taker element of me, I'm not like a jump out of a plane risk taker person. I'm pretty practical, be safe person, especially when you're car accident young, when you have pain, you're like, don't hurt the body. You know what I mean? So, but the logic of it, mm-hmm. pragmatically to go, this isn't working. I'm going to lean into this thing, even though it's the unknown.
Yeah.
Made more sense to me.
Yeah.
So I do attribute this sense of, well, this isn't working. Let's go here. And I don't think a lot of people have that trust or faith to dive into the unknown naturally. We're societally very much programmed out of that.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, because I feel like for so many women that I speak to, as uncomfortable as this, you know, in quotes, this might be like this, as you said, this isn't working, right? So as uncomfortable as it might be, it still feels safer to be with what you know versus what mm-hmm. you don't know. And so how do mm-hmm. you help women, or not just women, how do you help people navigate that?
Yeah, well, I call it benevolent pain, like the anxiety that doesn't go away, the depression that doesn't go away. A lot of my clients will be like on all the meds, tried all the things. That's like, yeah. like one of my sayings, since when you've done all the doing, it's time for being. The benevolent pain is there's something wrong. Pay attention. Mm-hmm. Something's off for real. Pay attention. Pain makes us pay attention.
Yes.
Our training has been make pain go away. Don't pay attention to the pain. Make it go away.
Yeah. So
9 times out of 10, my clients are like, I don't have time to feel sad. I don't have time to be, I have a breakdown. I don't have time for this. I'm like, okay. But it's here and it's what's happening and it's yeah. what's real. So let's deal with it. Let's be yeah. with what is here and what is real and what is happening mm-hmm. and increase the resources and capacity, which is the work that I do. Like, mm-hmm. don't make pain go away. Increase your capacity, increase your resources, and you don't have to do it all alone. We'll add that. So that you can live life at the pace of life.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I love how you explain that. And I also have heard you say, share before in one of my groups about our resourcefulness, right? And for you to learn to match your resources to the challenge that you're facing. And I think that was like a real aha thing for me when you said that, because it's like, we're trying to handle the situation in front of us from the resources that we have, but we have more available to us. So we just have to ask for help and match and up the resources, right? To match the situation. And I think that is such a empowering way of looking at things, because then you're never really stuck. You're like, oh, I just need the resource. It's like if you're in
business. Where are the resources?
Yeah. Yes. And if you're in business or if you yeah. are in any work that you do, you know this is true, right? Like your business needs this, or in your job, this is needed. And so you find the resources to help you. And it's the same way for us.
Yes. And they can come in unexpected ways. So mm-hmm. life is alive. Like life is alive. Creation wants you to be your fullest expression. Mm-hmm. So just always assume that if you have an internal nudge, an inspired idea, I don't mean a should idea.
Yeah.
I should be size 2. I should this. Yeah. Those societal metrics, I'm not, those won't be funded by the universe. Mm-hmm. They will be met with some sort of stress and opposition at some point because they're unnatural. And to me, that's a great system to be like, mm-hmm. hey, don't go that way. But the actual authentic, what lights you up is for you stuff is funded by the universe itself. Mm-hmm. And so, we aren't taught that societally, right? Like buy the thing, buy the thing, buy the thing. You're not enough, buy the thing. Mm-hmm. But it's like, no, of course I'm funded to be who I am.
Yes.
I just need to start learning to see, yeah. learning to hear beyond the noise, which is there's lots of interference. Mm-hmm. And we can all learn to get through the noise. It's who we are.
Yeah, that's powerful. Even that last statement, it's who we are and we can all learn to get through the noise. That's so powerful. Jen, I want to ask you, because you've had such a journey. I mean, we've all had such a journey, but what are some of the biggest lessons that you feel like you learned the hard way?
I thought I knew where you were going with that. What did I learn the hard way? control doesn't work. I wrote some stuff down before because you sent me some questions, but now what just popped in was what I learned the hard way was my way is not the best way. My desire to control has brought me a lot of suffering and false starts and just kind of running full tilt into something and banging my head up against it. So if I could go back, I would not do that. I think anytime we try to be someone that we're not, anytime we try to fit in rather than belong, like know our belonging, we're going to have pain. And like, I've definitely done that. I'm going to say you can't earn worth. Learning that I was inherently enough and there wasn't anything to prove.
Yeah.
To be lovable, to be likable, to exist without productivity or performance. Ironically, I'm a performer. Mm-hmm. That struggle of trying to be enough and earn my worth through being nice enough, through not having all of the things, all the identities we talk about, the people pleasing, the overachieving, the control,
perfectionism.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I had all of them. Mm-hmm. I still have them, but I have them. They don't have me. Mm-hmm. When we let those run us, when they have us and we don't have them, the perfectionism, and when they hijack us and they take over, they will strangle out life. And so my biggest suffering has been in fighting with my nature and fighting with life.
Yeah, wow. I think a lot of us can relate to that for sure.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, like all of it, right? Because even romantic relationships, like,
yeah,
I love you, so let's be together. Like the attachments are like, I want this job, so I should have this job. And if I don't have this job, I'm not, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Then who am I or what am I or I'm not deserving and all of those things. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I'm going to say that's a lot of noise, but we are doing the best we can with what we have because our, what I do in my work is your survival mechanisms. So the perfectionism, the imposter syndrome, all of that, those are survival mechanisms that are masquerading as success mechanisms. They are societally rewarded.
Yeah.
And so we're getting rewarded. We're getting rewarded. We're getting rewarded. And then, but we're also getting separate, separate, separate.
Yeah.
And so that divide is really what a lot of us are collapsing now, healing.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the more that I have conversations like this with like wise people like you, wise and also experienced and educated and, you know, really fully being on the journey and willing to be on the journey, you know, and not hide from it, just like really be in it.
Yeah.
I just realize how much more as humans we have to evolve. Like we, meaning there is so much more for us. Like, you know, we think of it in terms of our material world, but just in terms of how we are being, you know, like you said, the doing and the being, and it's like how we are being, we have like, I feel like light years to go still in terms of being able to live in that way. Do you feel that way too?
I feel that way on a global scale. Like I'll sometimes look at the world and go, oh no. Uh-oh. Because I've created this little microcosm life of a boutique referral base. When my clients want to work with me, they find me like literally like that's been okay. But let me get back to your thing. However, we can all pop back into creator mode. And that to me is, it will create a tipping point energetically, vibrationally, through the noise that then more people can pop on that wavelength. So as much as we can go, oh my goodness, there's so much work to do. It's just like, but the only thing to do is to work on you. The only thing to do is to be your unique nature.
Yes.
Fully.
Yes.
Don't try to mow someone else's lawn and you know what I mean? Like it's tempting. Let me go over there and fix that. No, no, no. Don't leave you. Your purpose is to be you.
You, yes.
That's your purpose. So the only thing missing when people are like, oh, something's missing, it's probably you because you left you to fix your sister or this or that. And so if you leave you, the feeling of not being on purpose, the void that you feel is your own being missing.
Mm-hmm. So that leads me to my next question perfectly. How do you furrow the woman who's listening who says, this all sounds like beautiful and it makes sense to me, but I don't know how to come back to me, or I don't know how to hear me, right? I don't know how to hear my own voice.
Yeah.
In the midst of all the noise, in the midst of like my upbringing or my culture or my neighbors or social media, like all of these things, how do you advise, or how do you believe that we can connect to that voice?
Well, it's always here. Mm-hmm. Your ability to hear it is diluted by the interference of old unprocessed emotions, other people's noise that you're resubscribing to without knowing it. Mm-hmm. The resourcing method teaches people to manage their mind, then be able to use it as a receiver and a tool for creation, but turn up their body sensation, which re-entrains you back with being an instinctual mammal, which is beautiful. That brings your receivers back online, your heart space. So the unprocessed emotions will interfere with your ability to hear. So as we start to live into an authentic life, a lot of people are, it's hilarious when I work with people, I'm supposed to be happy, I'm supposed to be myself. I'm like, yeah, we got some work to, like, you're purging through this alchemical process of being you, of all of the stuff that hasn't felt safe to feel. Like, listen, it's not anyone's fault that you didn't feel it before. So people can get shamey about it. Oh, I should have done this earlier.
Yes.
No, you couldn't have done it earlier. You did exactly what you could, where you are with what you have. Mm-hmm. That is the only thing you can do. Mm-hmm. So to burn off the interference is to turn up your being. There are strategic ways to do that. So they're actually also very simple to increase your sensation awareness, like feel your body with your experiencers, like not thinking. So we're a mind dominant society. Left brain, mind dominant, analytical thinking is one way of being that's actually the least interesting one. trying to figure everything out, always in a rush. It's the least interesting thing we could be as human beings, but it's the most dominant.
Yes.
We can still subscribe to it. We could still participate with that. We can still do that. But to know, wait, your being is enough and accessible. So the more we can bring our attention to the sensations, our attention to the energy of emotions, and to increase the capacity to be with things that have felt too scary to feel, that the mind will then hijack the healing process and be like, ouch, no, don't feel that. So most people will think they've done a lot of healing with traditional talk therapy, which I'm also a trained therapist. There's a great place for that. But I do like full being multi-level, like whatever you need to do to clear those off. And everyone can do it so that that emotional energy can be brought the resources to meet the challenge, to be transmuted with your own presence. Like most of the time I'm just being extremely present.
Yeah.
In order to activate someone else's presence to be with the thing so they can experience their capacity with a helper so that they now have that confidence and have that self-trust to go, whoa, that was really scary. Oh my God, I thought I was going to die, but I didn't.
Clear. Yeah. Yeah.
It's hard to do alone. And well, for those deep, deep emotional healings, but then to answer your question, it is your nature to hear your nature. So assume it's already there. It isn't something you attain.
That's right.
Already here.
Yeah.
But eventually I'm calling my company Tuning Humans. You just tune back to your original tuning.
Yes.
Through the emotional healing. And by the way, healing means wholeness, not fixing.
Yes.
By bringing presence to the thing, that mm-hmm. which needs to arise will arise. That's what it will be transmuted now into usable energy. Mm-hmm. A lot of my high achiever type clients, smarty pants people, are like, oh, I don't have the energy for that. Well, you're going to get more energy. You're going to free up backpacks. You're going to, that energy will now be transmuted into a creative idea for the thing. So your mind will never want you to do this stuff. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make sense to it. Mm-hmm. It never will. You have to listen to that part. So then intuition is just normal. Like you asked me in the questions, like, oh, when's the time you use your intuition? I'm like, all the time, like all the time. And
but what's cool is so much more fun, right? Too, Jenna. Like, I feel like
I was going to say that.
Yeah. Like, I feel like that's part of what I want people to know is that, you know, you're not just doing this for the sake of doing it, you know, like you're doing it because you actually get to be in your life more. You get to enjoy your life more. You get to like enjoy yourself more, you know, and who you are and play with it and have fun with it. And I feel like it's like a portal. It's like a portal to a freer, like, what's the word? A freer experience. Yeah.
Yes. Of being, right? Of being, or being enough. Exactly. Of being. Yeah. So nature, like I said earlier, like I was raised Catholic. So, but nature to me was way more compelling as a teacher.
Yes.
You know, and there was a time where, and so, you know, I worked with shamanic teachers on how to get beyond the mind and journey, and you can journey without plant medicine, but plant medicine's cool. But to be able to use my consciousness and to bring attention to it and to practice it, to be able to journey, to actually feel and hear the aliveness, and then cool things happen because life will talk to you, spirit will talk to you. Like then it's just like, wow, this is really cool. I was watching a sunset. And it will delight and surprise you. I'll add that too. I was watching a sunset and it was so beautiful. Again, I had the capacity to experience awe and beauty because that's something else you get when you clear off your receivers and you become fully present and you step in. So worth it. And the sunset said to me, why can't you see yourself this way?
Wow. That makes me want to cry, Jenna. Why can't you see yourself this way? Wow, when did this happen? When did you get that message?
Good question. I feel like 10 years ago. I feel like it was I was back in Goderich again before moving back to Toronto, and I was just looking at this and it was such a I am this amazing.
Like, yes. Yes.
Oh, right. You know, and then what also increases is your ability to receive. And so now we look at abundance and love, and abundance doesn't mean a bunch of stuff. It means the things you need to be you.
Yeah. The things you need to be you. I love that. Oh my gosh. I'm like already pulling out quotes that I'm going to use in the show notes. Yeah. I love that. That is what abundance is.
It is, because it's like, don't let the voices in your head tell you I can't do the thing because I don't see the thing now. Like,
yeah,
it will be funded as you go. So if you have what you need to do what you can now, do it.
Yes.
The mind will say, but you need a good microphone or the perfect camera or that. And I've done that. I've bought all the things. And then, you know, what's even funnier is I buy the thing because I'm like, okay, I'm serious. I'm going to do this. I'm going to buy the best camera ever. Then I don't do it, and then I don't do it, and I don't do it. Now the camera's outdated.
So I think I have one in the drawer that speaks to that. So I'm right there with you.
If we listen to our mind and we prematurely buy the thing because the money's in the bank, that wasn't abundance. That was just, you know, distraction. Yeah. So, but abundance will be like, use your phone. Mm-hmm. Start now. You look at all these people. They started in their closet. They used a little thing. And then like, it's such a cool, sexy story.
Yeah.
Until you try to do it yourself. And you're like, oh no, I need the best camera.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. And then you put it off, right? And it's,
you put it off. But if you do need the best camera, it will come to you.
Yes.
It yes. will.
Yeah, so good. Oh my goodness. Okay, so I want to ask you this question around the intuition. And maybe you'll be able to answer this very easily. I have a feeling you will. Mm-hmm. But I always find it the answers that I ask this question of everyone. So it's interesting to see how people respond. I wanted to ask you, and maybe it's like earlier in your life, because now you're in your intuition, but was there a time in your life where you made a decision purely on intuition, like in spite of any evidence, or maybe even the evidence pointed towards not doing something and you did it anyway? Can you share a time like that?
Absolutely. You know, a lot of people want to go to Peru and take a selfie in Machu Picchu. Mm-hmm. None of me cared about that, like zero. However, it was like 2012. I also forgot to say my dad went to jail when I was young for doing a standoff with the police and then eventually died by suicide. And I just like said a lot of really heavy stuff. But this coalesces with after his death by suicide from a lot of trauma.
Yeah.
Obviously. I just finished my ontological coach training. So I was actually really resourced to deal with that event, although nothing can prepare you for it. Then I was starting an ontological based fitness plan in a Toronto gym. And I had a business plan and I had all the things and I was about to get started and it was a good idea and it was a great plan. And then I'm sitting on my couch and it was like this message to go to Peru. Which I was super annoyed by. I was like,
"You're like, this is not convenient.
I don't want to go to Peru." Like, and so, but I've learned to stay curious. I'm going to say that to everyone: stay curious, and watch for data. And then I was like, "Okay, well, then show me." So then the coach who was running the program to go to Peru calls me out of the blue. I had a feeling I should call you, and there was only one spot left too. So somebody had dropped out. There was one spot left. Now she's like, "Oh, I had a feeling I should call you." I'm like, "Okay." And then my shaman mentor, who I met at a music festival, who came up to me and then helped me put my spirit back in my body. We can get back to that story. He messaged me and said, "There's Peruvian shamans up at Northern Edge Algonquin, where I did my intro to journeying." I think it was 3 years prior to that. And so there was unrelated Peruvian shamans up north. Because my dad had just died, you know, when you're in grief, you're in acute grief, you don't know how, you can't plan. Like, it's really disorienting because it's like, okay, I'm going to plan this on the weekend. I don't know who I'm going to be on the weekend.
Yes, totally.
And so the idea of driving 8 hours felt like, I felt so lugubrious. I'm like, no, I can't do that. But I really wanted to see these shamans. Then I got a phone call that they needed a host. And I had this beautiful apartment in Toronto at the time to host them before they went on their plane ride back to Peru. So they stayed at my house in Toronto 10 days before I'm supposed to go on this other Peru trip, unrelated Peruvian shamans. So I went to Peru and I learned a lot of soul level teachings that were for me, like the learning from direct spirit teachers and not like trying to find it or Google it or seek it. Like, it came to me. They literally came to my apartment, and then I went to Peru, and then I learned how to connect to Mother Earth. I learned these principles that informed my body of work that I can't even really imagine. And then after my trip to Peru, I got the download. No, actually, sorry, it's funny. So I got from three different shamans and one psychic. "Oh, you're great. You're on track. You know what you're doing. La, la, la. You're like all set. You need to heal your past."
Yeah.
All three. I was like, "Oh, okay." Thought I'd already done a lot of work. So then I thought, okay, well, I'll do another psychotherapy training. So thought, came home, asked around. That's the other thing. Enrolled people. I asked around and found out this woman who lived down the street from me in Toronto was running her trauma-informed psychotherapy training within the next month or so.
Okay.
So I didn't want to, I feel like I skipped 10 years of like collapsing time of like gathering what I needed to create the resourcing method. And it was at Barbara Forrest was the psychotherapy trainer who was 72, like pure elder, like,
yeah,
she helped me process deep terror in my body because she could hold presence. And so she was the one who said, your resources need to match your challenge for the first time.
Wow. Wow. I'm just saying wow, because I just feel like it's almost like when we are cut off from our being and from our intuition and all the words that we can use to describe that.
Yeah.
It's like a train that like skips the track or something. And we're like, don't know that we've skipped the track. And so we're like,
no,
just still, you know, rolling around, like rolling along, headed somewhere, but we don't realize like, oh, but there's like this beautiful destination that we would be going towards if we were on our track, you know? That's the kind of visual that came to life for me. And like, even yeah. though it wasn't convenient to listen to that and listen to the, you know, to your intuition and to the nudges that pointed you in that direction, look where it led you.
Yeah. Your intuition knows who you are and where you're going. Right. I mean, that's the thing. So I was like, but I have a plan.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh my gosh. I think that that's so important for people who are the women who are listening to hear, because plans are good, right? Like plans
are great.
Yeah, exactly. But we get so stuck on our plans that when something happens that isn't aligned with our plans, we feel like something is wrong. Like we are less than, and we're yes. not allowing for the co-creation of our plans. It's like, I'm setting this plan from all up here. Like you said, like all in our mind, we set the plan. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, and then mm-hmm. we're like, it's not working, when actually maybe it is working. And it's just that you need to let go. You need to like lessen your death grip, right? And go with it a little bit more.
At the bare minimum, just get curious.
Yes. Hmm. At the bare minimum, just get curious. Exactly.
Is there something missing here? Is there energy still here? You know, I've done that a ton. Actually, COVID really scrambled me. Like I made a lot of stupid decisions because I didn't even realize I was at the effect of like a global survival mechanism. Like the interference levels were really high during COVID. And so, I would make plans. I would stick to the plan because it was something I could control. I was in a survival mechanism, right? So even me with all of my skills and tools, it could I was deluded into the plan. That's the plan. Do the plan. Mm-hmm. But then I was sat on my couch one day. I was like, what am I doing? I'm not even happy. Like, I'm not happy. Sure, I'm getting stuff done, but I just my soul came in and was like, hey. Let's stop this now. Okay. Yeah. All right. And then I was like, what would make me super happy? And then I had the vision to go to Italy and do a residency singing there. And then I'd get to dress up and travel and meet cool people and be happy. It's like, cool. Awesome. Now,
did you do that, Jenna?
I might, but let me, this is really great. Basically, the vision of it lit me up so much. I looked up Italy. I started working on songs. I work with Celine Dion's vocal coach, William Riley. I, you know, was like, okay, I'm going to do this thing. And now it's a plan from desire.
Yes.
Different. But not delusion, right? So this plan had energy to it. It had aliveness to it, different. And then data comes and then the things come. And then, but then there wasn't any energy to going physically to Italy anymore. I gathered the data. What does it take to get that contract? Who, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, no, I don't feel like it anymore. But what it did was activate what it needed to get me to here, to get me to here. Hence the whole conversation we're having of sometimes the plan is just this dangling carrot that spirit's like, come on, Jenna.
Yeah.
Follow the joy.
Yes.
And then it'll drop because it served its purpose and it might reconstitute in reality and form. But then I went to Mexico and I had those experiences, really cool people. Mm-hmm. I sang at the resort. Mm-hmm. I dressed more feminine and I love beauty. And I was just in a lot of leggings and mussy buns for like 3 years.
Yeah.
As many people were.
Yeah,
and then exactly. Like, wearing all the things. And it just reminded me to be more me. And then I got the messages from Spirit then. This was just last year. Always sing and no more later.
Wow. Always sing and no more later.
Yeah. And now those are my through lines. And they're not something I sat on New Year's and was like, what's my word? Like, they were directions. They were like, follow this energy.
Yes. Beautiful. Beautiful, Denna. So, you know, this podcast is called Be All You Are, a Midlife Awakening Podcast. And most of my guests fall somewhere into the midlife range. And so if you don't mind sharing your age, I would love to hear how you are experiencing this stage of life.
Fun. I'm 42. Okay. I think I've been waiting since I was 16 to be in my 40s for sure. Like the autonomy, it's a good time. And I'm dating and I'm like, this is fun. And my thighs are perfect. And like, you know, like just like, I think it's the time where people get the opportunity to, they've been a professional them for however long. So I've been a professional Jenna for 40 years. So like, I know what I like. I know what I don't like. I'm not banging around being like, maybe I'll like this.
Yeah.
Nope, I don't. Yeah. So it helps me make very incisive decisions, not from a place of lack, but like, no, I don't like that. Jenna doesn't like that. I call it being a self-anthropologist to just like notice like what temperature makes you feel awesome, how much hydration, how much sleep, how much that, and then like live in alignment with that. So by age 40, I know the type of speakers I want because the music sounds better. Like, I know who I am.
Yeah.
And now it's up to me to have enough of a relationship with myself to be an advocate and to be my own mom and to be my own cheerleader to live that life. Mm-hmm. You know, and I can. I don't have to wait for something out there or some training or some special mentor. Like, I kind of know, I'm like, if I want to do it, I'll do it.
Yeah.
And I think in our midlife, we have a sense of that.
Yes. Yes, it's so empowering. What I find is that there are so many women who, you know, are spent all these decades being the them that they thought they were supposed to be, right? Yeah. And maybe didn't have the sort of self-discovery process happen until later. And you know, when it happens in like your late 30s or early 40s, it shows up in ways that to some of the women that I work with feel like failure or that something is wrong with them, right? So it's like their relationship doesn't feel aligned or they're not getting promoted at work or they realize like, oh, I can't, like this job is just like, you know, killing me. Or their friendships just feel off. And, and it's funny because at first they think again that there's something wrong with them. Like, shouldn't I be happy with all these things that I said I wanted and now have? And now, you know, how ungrateful of me to not be happy with this, you know? So what would you say to women who are experiencing?
That is my exact client. That is all of it. Like, I have all the things, but I'm not happy and I should be grateful. And now la, la, la. And so the name of my epic book that is now 11 books is It's Not Your Fault, Nothing's Wrong With You, because it's like life is alive and assume you're enough and assume that life is on your side. Mm-hmm. Just even if you just want to believe me, because it feels better. And the breakdowns aren't failure. Mm-hmm. They are growth and they are recalibration. Mm-hmm. They are, you know, like nature will, like, you know, all these leaves have just fallen off. Like, nature will, like, the flood will come and then it'll create the way and then the thing. And so this identification and personification, let me take away all the fancy words. The perception and interpretation, more fancy words, but the interpretation that something's wrong or bad and I failed is the only failure.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that's going to F you up, not actually what's happening. Mm-hmm. What's happening is just happening.
Yeah.
I'm wrong. I failed. That will mess you up.
Yeah.
And that's what I help people with, like recalibrating back. Whoa, let's just look at this. Let's look at this differently. Not my way. let's just look at this differently.
Yes.
What is life trying to tell you right now? My favorite one recently, I use a lot of analogies so they can make this like mystical thing really pragmatic, is like if life could text you, if life texted you mm-hmm. about this and was yes. like, hey, here's what you need to know. What would yeah. it say?
Yes.
The job loss, the relationship loss. Oh, my friends aren't really my friends. Maybe they were never your friends. And maybe the version of you you had to be, you outgrew. It's cool. Keep yeah. going. You'll find your new friends.
Yeah.
But don't make yourself wrong or bad. I've had a lot of friends reconstitutions for so long. Mm-hmm. I don't have breakup conversations with them. Like it just fades away. Mm-hmm. People come back in. Fades away. People just unclench, just, yeah. you know, but those are my clients. Like, cause you can't get there from here. You can't get to your most expressed life from your mind and from your old programs.
Yeah.
From your attachments. And so if life is trying to snow globe you to be like, stop it. Like it did to me, then let it and watch it unfold. And a tool I'll give listeners is to create an evidence journal of when things work out.
Yeah.
When you had an idea and it can't like create data, collect evidence. The mind yes, loves evidence.
Yes, we love evidence. That's right. Our mind loves evidence. And you know what's love so crazy it. Is if you ask most women, especially if they did resource up and, you know, were able to take something that seemed to be a bad thing, you know, a bad thing in their mind at first, and then they resourced up and then they were able to move through that thing. Like I want to say 10 times out of 10, it led them to a better place.
Right? Better. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. It led them to a better place. That thing that felt like a breakdown or a failure eventually led them to a better place, but only if they were, you know, had the willingness or even that somebody was able to come in and because, you know, we don't need to do, it's like you said, we're not meant to do this alone. So even yeah. somebody just like, planted the spark in us that, oh, maybe there's something that's actually happening for you in all of this, you know, just that little spark, then yeah. it can lead you there. Now, if you stay in the, you know, this is like all bad and this, and you don't get that support, then I think then it's a different thing.
Yeah. And there's a difference between the spark and the thought.
Yeah.
The thought of, you know, spiritual bypassing, oh, it's all good. Not what I'm talking. It's not what we're talking
yeah.
about.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yes.
That's just lying to yourself.
Yes.
The knowing mm-hmm. the whatever needs to happen for you to get out of your way to go, you know what? At the end of the day, this looks like craziness. Mm-hmm. Like the client sessions I've had this week and the stuff happening in people's lives, but inside,
yeah,
they are like, yeah, we're good though. I'm yeah. good. This is a hologram.
Yes.
So if you try to fix it by going out there, you're going to keep struggling. Mm-hmm. The breakdowns are to try to wake you up so that you come back into creator mode.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jenna, I want to ask how people can work with you, how people can follow you. How can we learn about your singing also? How can we connect with you?
Everything is going to be on jennasmithcoaching.com. Mm-hmm. So jennasmithcoaching.com. From there, you can find my Instagram where I'll do reels, Adventures in Jenna Land.
Mm-hmm. And that, we'll put all those links in the show notes so people yes. can just scroll down.
Yeah. For singing, I'll have that on the website too. So okay. I will be launching some cool singing stuff. Okay. I'm making sure to make it fun, you know, but we'll see. I'm unclenched with the singing goals. I'll say that. Like, I'm just like, where is this arising? Where is this going? But I'm really excited about it and playing with it and to share with more women about even just, I almost even imagine at some point there'll be an event where it's like how to unleash your voice, like how to be in your body, how to have more joy. How
oh
to,
my God,
like,
let's do that event. What are you talking about? Let's do it together.
Okay. It happens really? Right here.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. We should totally do that together. Are you kidding me?
I love that's it because awesome. Yeah. our voices are so like I have Voxer with my clients where they can audio me because I can hear yeah. all of their voice.
Yes.
And when I watch somebody talk, I can feel where they're stuck. I can help. Okay, let's do this. Let's like it's like really fast and mm-hmm. it's like so much more fun. And then like, let's, you know what I mean? The thinky, thinky, yes. talky, talky. Like it feels more fun.
Yes. Yes. For sure it does. Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it. So more to come on that, everybody. More to come on that. I would love to do something like that with you. I think that's so, that would be so powerful.
I love that. And, you know, I love being podcast guests and guest experting and panels, and I'll be combining the singing and speaking to do keynote shows.
I love that. So that's one thing that I think is really cool and interesting to me personally is, you know, you are multidimensional. We're all multidimensional. And as a creator of your life, you get to decide what that looks like. So do you feel like you are still kind of exploring how you would cross those two things, or do you have a vision for it?
I have a vision. Yeah. And yeah, to make that both teachable and a share, it's like the vision is to share my story.
Yeah.
You know, with interwoven songs, not like the whole song. It's not like a musical.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. It's like I am the show, and it freaked me out. Honestly, like I'd rather not like bare my soul.
One of my favorite things that you say in this podcast, in this interview, and I think it's just so hilarious for women listening to note too, is this I'd rather not. It's like this, it's so funny to me that you're being nudged in a direction and you're just like a little bit reluctant. It's not like, let's be real. This isn't just about like, okay, universe, you want me to go here? I'm going gladly. Let's do it. It's like, really? Do I have to?
Like, can I just go over here and do this thing?
Yeah.
Now you're it. Like your story. I know,
you're it. That's right.
Not even the resourcing method, not all my fancy dancy, super smarty pants stuff. It's like you. Your story, your vulnerability, and don't be safe. You know, I talked to someone who did a one-man show, whatever. And he was like, yeah, this whole like teaching plus speaking isn't going to work because it's too boring. It's like, you got to like put it all out there. I'm like, oh,
yeah.
I don't want to, but I will. You'll see it.
You know what, Jenna? I feel like I was meant to hear this because I feel like there are, no, seriously, because there is a story within me. Like I tell a lot of my story, but there is a deeper level to the story. And you know what? We should also honor the fact that there is a time that is like, you will get nudged. It's not like tell your story, like, you know, out of the gate, you're not ready. And that's totally fine. And you shouldn't ever force yourself, right? This isn't about forcing, it's, you know, been 10 years for me since all of these things happened in my life. And this year, leading up to the 10th anniversary of my husband's passing and illness and all of it, I've been getting these nudges, the same as you, like, but I don't want to, really, do I have to? But it's been coming in hot, right? Like, you know, it's time to go deeper. Like, I'm getting this message, like, it's time to go deeper. You're ready. And so I feel like you sharing this was another nudge from the universe because I've been not resisting it at all, but sort of sitting with it, you know?
Reticent is fine. Reticent. Yeah. I've been participating with it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say to the listeners, you can only move as fast as your slowest parts can go. And so if I ever feel like I'm pushing myself or I feel like I'm like, sometimes I'll make a goal and make a deadline so that I'll like race myself there to make myself do it. To also not do that, like unless it feels like an F yes. And, you know, to ride that balance, it's really a tightrope walk of gentleness with your co-creation. It's not a high achiever, go big or go home thing.
Yes.
Yeah. And so I'm getting that, like, I did a Mo Mondays and I told my story. My brother was very verbally abusive when I was younger and I couldn't have planned for the amount of empathy to come from the audience.
Wow.
Effed with me. And I was like, I just couldn't have planned for that, but I'm so grateful that happened. So I now know when you go that vulnerable, there's nothing that's really going to prepare me except to just be willing to do it and to be willing to be vulnerable. And I call a lot of singing alive vulnerability. You don't know what's going to come out of your mouth. Your voice might crack, your voice might this. And so the intersection of preparing to sing, but then also letting it all go and just telling a story, mm-hmm. just being enough. Your voice is like a metaphor for that. So for me, it's like force won't work.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like force and control and the death grip.
Literally in your voice, you have to prepare it and take care of it and get enough sleep and then create the conditions for it.
Yeah.
Same as your humanness. It's really cool.
Yeah, it is cool, isn't it? And it's just like, it is that like gentle approach. And I think we have sort of, we've sort of as a society started to feel like gentle means weak, right? And it's not the case. It's not the case.
Gentle is intelligent.
It's intelligent and it's reverence. Yes, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, we can talk forever.
I have like two more. Okay, so I have two more questions for you, Jenna, and one I'm slipping in just for myself, and then I have a final question for you. But the second last question, and hopefully if there's moms on this listening to this, they'll be like, oh, good question. I'm glad you asked that. My daughter is 8, and she loves singing and dancing. I'm like, first of all,
great.
What's that?
Great. It's good for her.
Yeah. And she's constantly singing and constantly dancing. I love it. I love it so much. It's like if she's anywhere not in the same room as me or even in the same room, she's constantly singing a little tune, right?
Aww.
And like even her teacher will be like, oh, just in the middle of class, making her way from the bookshelf to back to her desk, she'll stop and do a little dance routine. It's so great. And she's in dance class, but I am like, I'm thinking about, at the school fair last year, without anybody knowing, with no planning, she went up on stage by herself and did karaoke in the mic, like sang a full song at the age of 7, just like belted it out. Yeah. And so I'm like, okay, this is in her, right? This is not something that I have sort of put on her. This is in her. What would you say, knowing little Jenna, who loved to sing, like, what can I do to support her in that?
Oh my goodness, thank you. Because little Jenna was put in voice lessons that made her hate singing.
Oh, fascinating.
Yes, the right teacher matters.
Yeah.
So don't just like put them in voice or, but like, who is that person? Because listen, a teacher that's of the arts, the human matters. They can't just be a voice teacher.
Yeah.
Like, is that person empowered? Because a disempowered voice teacher is going to shrink your kid.
Yeah.
Because they have been shrunk. Like, they're not expressing themselves or something like that. So, like, pay attention to the human for sure. Praise. That was so good, but not like that was a good note.
Mm-hmm.
I loved that experience. Like, music and dance is an experience. And so, to get so, like, note specific and this was right and this was wrong.
Yeah.
Really collapsed a lot of my confidence and strangled my creativity. And now that I work with William Riley, who's literally the best singer and coach in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Also cool how I met him. Also now my friend, he coaches in a way that isn't about getting the note right. It's about here's what you need to make your voice the mechanism it needs to be.
Yeah.
Now learn the song, learn the notes. But now it's about the artist you need to be. And now it's about emancipating yourself through the song, through the story. So I hopefully that was helpful. And that is just about the experience and them being them in the dance, them being them. How do you want to say this sentence?
Mm-hmm.
What's the most important word in this line?
Right.
How do you want to do that? That is going to be the place, and then they can learn the notes and they can learn the things. But yeah, making it about getting it right too soon is
okay,
not great.
Okay, yeah, see, that was super helpful for me. And honestly, I think for anyone, just whether it's a sport or what, regardless of what it is,
sports, same thing with sports,
same, yeah. So,
and don't collapse their ability, their desire to be good,
yeah,
let them feel sad, it sucked. Because it sucks when it sucks.
Yeah, totally.
And on to the next one.
Yes. Exactly. Oh, on to the next one. Exactly.
Let's go.
That's right. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for that. I wanted to finish by asking a question that I ask all guests on the podcast, and that is, what do you think it means to be all you are?
I think it means no thinking, existing, participating with life, knowing you're enough, embracing that your human mammal fear self is going to be like, ah, while your creator self is like, wee, and being able to dance between the two and be alive and feel all the feelings and not try to shrink and not try to avoid pain. So it's like this participation with creation, and you get to be the experiencer of it as your unique self that will never exist ever again. Like, it's such a luxury to be you.
Yeah, that's beautiful, Jenna. Thank you. That is like, what a beautiful answer. I appreciate you so much. And I'm so glad that we met. And I'm so grateful for this conversation. And thank you for being you.
Thank you.
So I'd love to hear, what did you think of our conversation? Reach out to me via Instagram. If you just scroll down, you will find my Instagram handle in the show notes. You can just click right there, send me a DM. If you love this episode and something resonated with you, I would be so honored, and so would Jenna, if you would screenshot it and share it on stories and tag both of us as well. I really, really loved what Jenna said about needing to have the resources to match the challenge you're facing. So instead of feeling when you hit across a challenge that it's too overwhelming or it's too much, instead shift to focusing on, what resources do I need to face this challenge? Isn't that so empowering, and also widens the lens of what is possible when it comes to solving a specific issue? I found that so simple and yet so impactful. And I would love to hear what you think as well. Before we go, I just wanted to remind you that I have a beautiful, beautiful meditation, a guided meditation. It's only 11 minutes, and it helps you to connect with your inner goddess. I believe that each and every one of you has an inner goddess within you, the part of you that loves you unconditionally, the part of you that knows what you're made of, what you're capable of, the part of you that honors your feelings and is gentle, but also, you know, that coach that everyone needs, your inner coach, that wants you to step into all that you are, to shine brightly, to create. That is your inner goddess. And I've created a beautiful meditation as part of a course that I offered earlier this year, a mini program about how to reconnect to your feminine strength. And it's 11 minutes, and I'm offering it for free. You just need to, again, go down into the show notes and you'll find a link to click. You just put in your email address and instantly you will receive this 11-minute meditation. I've heard from women that when they are feeling frustrated, stuck, less than, a lack of confidence, all you do is you turn it on, you close your eyes, and 11 minutes later, I guarantee you, you will feel at least a few percentage points better and more empowered. So go check that out. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, don't forget to come back next week, because I have something really exciting to share with you. Have a great week. I love you all. Thank you for tuning in to today's show. I hope you found inspiration and use this podcast to start stepping into all you are. You can find information that was shared in today's show just below in the show notes. If you love this conversation, please share it with others so they can benefit from it too. You can take a screenshot of this episode and tag me on Instagram, or share a link via text or email to a friend. Let's be clear. We need more women stepping into all they are. So go ahead and share away. And of course, subscribe to the podcast so that you receive the latest episodes every week, and take a quick moment to rate it and leave a review. Thank you so much. Until next time, remember to keep exploring what it means to be all you are.